You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Welcome to Bear and Balance. I'm Jeff Berkus, a writer for Windy City Gridiron, and I'm joined by the editor of that fine website, Lester A. Wiltfong Jr. Lester, we've got a special guest today is at camp. I'm feeling a little bit nostalgic for not being at camp this week like we were last week, but how did the back to work week treat you?
The back to work week sucked. It always sucks, but you know, but I am going back to camp on Sunday. But like you said, we do have a special guest, Brendan Chagrou from the Bears Wire, joining us today. And Brendan, you were at camp today. That's why we wanted to bring you on, because fans want that firsthand experience. They want to know the stuff that's going on there. So good time today at Halas Hall for you.
What's up, guys? Yeah, it was a really good time. Myself and my co-host for the Bear Down Chicago podcast, Jack Wright, went, and you know, we just had a great time, beautiful weather. And I mentioned earlier to you guys, this is my second camp practice in a year. I went last year, and I think it's pretty interesting because during last year's camp with Matt Nagy, I went on one of the days where it was probably one of the most laid back practices. And they even said it, they only did like, you know, they didn't do real hitting. They only did end zone work. And to contrast that, today was probably one of the most physical practices, both by my accounts and then hearing from what other players said. Because I kept thinking, I'm like, man, these guys are really, really getting after it. I was like, I don't remember this last year. And then, of course, afterwards, hearing during the media session, Cole Kmet, Darnell Mooney, Eddie Jackson all said, yeah, this was tough. But I'd say it was a fun practice. It was hard. I'd say it was hard for a lot of guys. Just they kept getting after it, doing a ton of different drills. We saw some scout team today, which was interesting. At first, I didn't know what was going on. I was like, wait, they have pennies on? Does that mean what I think it means? And so that was pretty interesting. But yeah, just a fun day at Halas Hall. It was good to be back.
Now, I got a message from you early this morning where you were kind of freaking out. Direct message on Twitter where you're like, where are the buses? So just public service announcement for those of you that are going to camp and haven't been there yet, but have been there in the past, the buses are picking up from the other side of the Macy's on Vernon Hills Mall. So if you're going there and you're going to the same spot and you're hanging out and milling around with other people who are doing the exact same thing, they should just put a sign up, say, hey, maybe go around the other side. It's actually on the north side of the Macy's. So just, you know, public service announcement to those of you
spoken haven't been like a yet. True local, JB. I like it.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I think good. I even got the direction right. I think
yeah,
I think
yeah, I did that worked. Right. No, it's true. Yeah, last year it was right in front of the Maggiano's. I get there, nobody's there. I'm like, oh great, they moved the location, but now I don't know where it is. And yeah, I was a little. I was like, who can I message that I know has been there already? I was like, oh, Jeff.
Did you do any of the Peyton Center stuff or take any of the pictures, or, you know, they still had the Red Grange bobblehead doll up, I assume?
They do. Yes. I took, so I didn't go to the Walter Peyton Center. That's like 2 years in a row. I'm like, hey, I think I want to do that. And then I'm like a small kid. I get distracted by shiny things. Once I get there, I'm like, oh, the pro shop. Oh, here's Staley. Oh, and I'm just going to like look at everything. And then by the time I look at my watch, it's 15 minutes to practice and I want to stake out a good spot. But checked out the pro shop. There are still Mitchell Trubisky jerseys for $20 if you want them. I was a little disappointed because I was hoping the same thing would happen for Akeem Hicks jerseys.
Nope.
I really wanted an Akeem Hicks jersey, but they're still selling them at a pretty high price. Yes, you know, just kind of, it was similar to what we saw last year, only I love that they had food trucks this year.
Yeah.
I didn't actually get any food. I was just, you know, I wanted to see everything in practice. But yeah. I love the idea. Yeah, people were taking advantage of it. I was a little bummed I couldn't get a beer afternoon because, you know, I like the idea of selling beer, but And I know you're trying to be responsible by kind of cutting it off at a certain time, but I really don't want to drink beer before it, like noon. And I want to hit it after practice, but that's all right. I got me a nice fresh Deja Blue because that's the only place that I ever see a Deja Blue is at Bears games or practices.
Well, you got a beer tonight going. This is not Bears over beers. So, you know, I'm not drinking that, but you want to share your beer since, you know, we can kind of just take care of that as well.
Sure thing. It is a Daisy Cutter okay. Pale Ale.
Yeah. Good beer. All right.
I have no idea what that means.
Lester doesn't drink beer. The Wild Fang only drinks whiskey and Zima. That's it.
Iced tea tonight, my friend.
I was gonna say red wine, but
all right. So let's get into the show. So let's talk about the offensive line. We always start in the trench tribute. You had an article up on Bears Wire earlier today where you pointed out six guys that you thought stood out to you in camp. So why don't we start there? Who on the offensive line did you include in that article that's really stood out to you?
So it's kind of one of the obvious go-to answers here, but it was Braxton Jones. And for a couple reasons, one, he played every single snap at left tackle. So the Bears were rotating some offensive linemen, notably at right tackle, Riley Reiff and Larry Borum. Those two were the, you know, notable ones that were getting time with the ones. Of course, Tevin Jenkins wasn't there, but as each practice goes along, it really seems like Braxton Jones is that guy at left tackle. And he was holding his own. He looks like he belongs, at least in practice, going up against guys like Travis Gibson, Al-Quadi Muhammad. Now, Robert Quinn didn't practice today, so you kind of don't get like the full scope of what he can do. But he gave Justin Fields enough time on multiple occasions. There was one play in particular where he was kind of getting pressured a little bit, but he held his own enough for Justin Fields to fire a pass, I believe, to Byron Pringle. But, you know, like you start to hear about these, okay, Braxton Jones is continuing time with the ones. Is this actually going to be a realistic week one scenario? And now that you're seeing Riley Reiff play more and more on the right side, it really seems like Braxton Jones is going to be the week one starter. Now, I really want to see how he performs in preseason against another team. And he's got a tough task against a really good 49ers defense if he is the starter against guys like Eric Armstead and Nick Bosa. But for all intents and purposes, he looked good today. And he got, like I said, he got all the reps, which is, I think, the most important thing right now.
You know, I think it's a testament to his work ethic where the Bears went through the entire offseason program. Right before camp, they're like, you know what, we have to upgrade a tackle. Riley Reiff comes in within I think a couple practices. He's with the ones with Jones rotating in, but it's Reiff had the job for a few days there. And then at some point they're like, man, the coaching staff said Braxton Jones, you know, I think he deserves the shot back. And since they made that switch, I think it was three practices ago, it's been Reiff on the right side exclusively with Borum. And I mean, Braxton Jones, I mean, his tape coming out, I mean, yeah, he went to the fifth round, but it was a huge draft class. I mean, he got pushed down with like a lot of prospects did. Mm-hmm. I love the upside there, you know, good feet, long arms. He looks the part of an NFL tackle, and everything you hear about his work ethic, his stuff off the field, his personality, you know, his mentality about how he looks at the game. He doesn't look at the game. There was actually a podcast, our Making Monsters a couple days ago. And we had his O-line coach on there, and he mentioned that Jones looks at the game, the full game. He doesn't just look at his responsibility as a tackle. He knows everyone's responsibility on that offensive play and the scheme, and he says that helps him be a better football player.
Oh, yeah. You need to know what's going on. I mean, like, it's not your job, but you need to know the job of the guy next to you. It makes your job easier and to understand what's happening. I mean, the fact is arms are, I think, like at least two inches longer than Larry Borum's and Tevin Jenkins. I mean, that alone says something. He does have, when you see him in person, he does have that physicality. And I think the biggest thing is, you mentioned Riley Reiff spending time with the ones. He wasn't really getting pushed in those minicamp practices. He was primarily working as the first offensive tackle, at least on the left side. Now you bring in a veteran who has played a number of snaps. And I mean, Riley Reiff isn't any slouch. Like, he's a decent, solid offensive lineman, maybe a little long in the tooth, but you bring him in to kind of push him a little bit, see what he can do. And for the coaches, Braxton Jones just, you know, continues to ascend and, you know, makes him more expendable, or I guess, you know, put him at the right side and see what he can do with Borum. So I think that is probably my biggest takeaway there. Like, he got competition and now he's, you know, standing up to the competition and performing better.
Yeah. The Reef signing is only good for a guy like Braxton Jones, even if it's just as a mentor. Reef is known as a consummate professional, good locker room guy. He's going to be a good glue guy to that offensive line. And to me, it seemed obvious that, oh, okay, you know, they're going to let Braxton Jones sit behind Reef at left tackle. Mm-hmm. They're going to let that happen. They're going to let Borum and Jenkins, whatever is happening with Jenkins, fight it out for the right tackle. And that's kind of what the tackle is going to look like. And then with the Jenkins situation where, you know, he hasn't practiced yet, we're getting some mixed messages here from, you know, the leaks of maybe he's going to get traded. And then Luke Getsy saying like, no, he's engaged. He's going to be good to go once he gets over this thing. And it's like, okay, I'm not quite sure.
Fingers crossed.
Exactly. I mean, hopefully that is what's happening. Maybe he did have some sort of injury that kind of kicked him back and he just hasn't been able to physically go and not all this other stuff. There's too much smoke there for there to be nothing. But
yeah,
it kind of seemed like, well, if Jenkins isn't going to be there, then it really does seem like it's a Braxton Jones at left versus Larry Borum at right. Riley Reiff plays whichever one not going to win the job, right? I don't think it's a Braxton Jones versus Riley Reiff as much as it's a Braxton Jones versus Larry Borum.
That makes sense.
I agree. And I really am struggling after seeing what I saw today. I'm really struggling to see how Tevin Jenkins finds a spot on this team, or at least even competes for a starting tackle position. Because if they really thought that Tevin Jenkins was somebody who could at the very least compete, I think Riley Reiff would be spending a little more time at the left side, kind of as that potential swing tackle or competing for one of the two spots. Now that he's just like going at the right spot and leaving the left tackle spot to Jenkins, or I'm sorry, to Jones. We know Tevin Jenkins isn't going to play left tackle. They made that crystal clear earlier in the offseason. His only spot, I feel like, is that right tackle. And now you're starting to get a logjam there with two other guys. So this is honestly one of the biggest mysteries in recent memory with the Bears, especially coming out of training camp. It is so odd. And injuries happen, but just like the smoke around it, the rumors coming out about his immaturity, him being on the trade block. I don't remember ever seeing anything like this.
I mean, I don't either. I think that the takeaway here, though, is that it's pretty clear that Ryan Poles did not like this offensive line. Mm-hmm. And it would not surprise me to see if he replaces all five starters here, you know, within 2 years. That would not be a shock. I could see all of his guys being in front of Justin as soon as 2023 rolls around. So if Braxton Jones is the first piece to win one of those positions, that won't surprise me. But I think that there's more coming, or those guys that Jatir Carter, maybe he steps in, Zach Thomas, you know, learning behind Cody White here, you know, grooming him for next year. It just seems like this whole thing is going to be reset in 2 years, which quite frankly, good. You can defend that decision making by Ryan Poles.
Hey, did you get a chance much to see anything at center? I mean, I know Doug Kramer's been getting some reps there with the ones along with Sam Mustipher. Does it look like they're settling into one guy or the other at that center spot, or is it still kind of like up in the air right now?
I think it's up in the air. It seems like yesterday or 2 days ago, Doug Kramer was primarily rolling with the ones. Today, It was pretty much Sam Mustipher. You know, I thought the interior looked okay. The issue I had was, and this is kind of going back to my experience with last year, I was on the end zone, so I saw some of the offensive line that was great, like especially coming towards me. Little bit blocked a little bit. My view was obstructed by some of the players, but it seemed for the most part Sam Mustipher was the guy at center right now. And I thought he looked okay. I mean, there wasn't like too many like blown up plays right at the line of scrimmage. Thankfully, Justin Fields, or I guess whoever was playing quarterback, they had a little bit of time to actually do something. But yeah, we'll see what happens tomorrow if Doug Kramer switches out and, you know, see what they're doing there with Lucas Patrick being out.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. I don't know that they're going to trust rookie to take snaps here just for a game or two. I mean, I think you can make the argument that you let Sam take over for the short term until Patrick gets back. He's probably going to miss probably one or two games, I would assume, if the timelines were correct. So, you know, it makes a little more sense with a guy that has some experience. Maybe take that on and not a green rookie who to me looked like he needed a little bit more seasoning before you put him on the field. But yeah, it could be wrong. So let's move on to Justin Fields. I don't know what your experience was with the fans. There just seems to be, you know, this is a budding superstar in the making, but we added the Fields report when Fields started to start games last year, just kind of reviewing what he had done in the game and taking a specific focus on him. So continuing that with camp here. So what was your impression of Justin's practice today? Anything stand out to you? Did he have a good practice, down practice? You know, basically, how was he?
I thought he had a mixed practice, and it depends on where he was at the field, on the field. So when the Bears were kind of in the middle of the field where he had more room to work with, I thought he was really, really good. I mean, we saw you probably saw the highlight of the deep ball to Velus Jones off the play action pass to David Montgomery. Velus just beat Dane Cruickshank and Fields dropped it right in the bucket. It was probably the best throw we had all day. Of course, the offsides call. I mean, how many times have we seen over the last few years Bears quarterbacks get the defense to jump offsides and then just spike the ball on the ground and take the 5 yards? Fields actually turned it into a long play to Equanimeous St. Brown. He beat his defender easily. It seemed like the defender actually gave up, but, you know, just taking it up over the top. So I thought on some of his deep patterns, he was pretty good. He missed one other deep one to Equanimeous, same sort of route that Velus ran. It was a flag route. But I thought overall in those longer field situations, he was really solid. When you got towards the red zone, that's where some of the issues came across, in my opinion. And what I was seeing was Fields was locking in too much on Cole Kmet and Darnell Mooney. There was one play in particular that stood out to me because it was right in front of my face. Fields is scrambling to the right. N'Keal Harry's wide open in the back of the end zone. He's got a good, like I'd say, like 2 or 3 seconds where, you know, you could pretty fit a ball pretty good in there to, you know, have a chance at a touchdown, probably get a touchdown. Fields doesn't see it. Instead, he tries to force the ball towards Darnell Mooney on the sideline. He was well covered, broken up. So that was kind of disappointing. And you just saw him kind of try to, you know, work a little too much towards Cole Kmet and Darnell Mooney and maybe not utilize his other receivers. So that shows he's really starting to get a chemistry with those guys, but I'd like to see him do a little bit more with the other guys, especially when you're trying to score. In terms of his, I saw a lot of scrambles from him. He was rolling out of the pocket. There were a few coverage sacks. Unfortunately, I thought the defensive backs did a pretty solid job overall. They were really trying to work on his scrambling in certain situations. I thought there was a really cool drill they were doing outside of team drills where they were actually just having the quarterback run upfield and work on those quarterback designed runs. All the quarterbacks were doing it. So you saw Fields, Peterman, and Simeon. So
a little bit of a difference there as athletes.
What's that?
Little bit of a difference there as those athletes.
Yeah, a little bit. You definitely see a big difference with Fields when he's moving. But I thought something like that was unique and nice to see that they're really trying to, they're embracing Justin's strengths and athleticism. I know Matt Eberflus and Luke Getsy came out the other day, I believe, and said, we're trying to get him to throw from the pocket, but we're also not trying to limit what he can do outside of the pocket, you know, kind of striking that fine line. So I thought that was pretty good in practice today. You saw him go through his reads, go through his progression. Again, you just wish that maybe he spread the ball around a little bit in the end zone, because that was pretty much the only issue, the only areas where he really struggled, in my opinion.
You know, I want to go back to what you said earlier about the flag, the penalty on the defense. You're right. So many times in years past, we've seen Bears quarterbacks not take that free play. But then when you watch the Packers, for example, and Aaron Rodgers, he lives off those free plays. He takes the deep shot every chance he gets. So this has to be some of that Luke Getsy influence coming over from Green Bay. You know, when you're around greatness like he was for so long in Green Bay, you know, some of that wear rubs off on you. And that some of that is going to be also imparted on Justin Fields. And, you know, this is just, it's a small thing you mentioned, but man, when you said it, I'm like, man, that's, it's so good to hear that he's doing something that is so common in today's NFL, but something the Bears haven't been doing.
Absolutely. And I think it's both. It's Getsy and it's Fields' mentality. Because Fields, he's a killer, man.
Yeah.
Remember last year during the Packers game, he thought, and he should have gotten that defensive offsides where he threw the ball deep. He was trying to go for the home run, turned out to be intercepted, and it was a missed call. But so we have seen it before, but this time, I mean, he put it right on the money. And I'm sure with Luke Getsy in his ear, seeing, you know, what he's seen with Aaron Rodgers over the last few years, that's going to be commonplace. And it's also good to see that Fields is working on his hard count, continuing to get defensive lines to jump across. And then, of course, trying to take advantage of that.
I love it.
Yeah, he's a big game hunter. I think that if this all comes together, it's going to be a lot of fun. And I know, you know, the offensive line might not be where people want. I put out a tweet earlier this week and I was like, look, first week of pads, they clearly have not settled the offensive line positions. That matters, right? I mean, the offensive line is not an individual game. It is a team. It is a team within a team. And those five guys need to learn how to work together. They need to learn their line calls. I'm not saying they're going to be great, but there's a path for them to have five guys on the field that can play. And if that happens and they learn how to play together, they can do okay. And so they just, it's early in camp. Don't freak out, people. But that will hopefully give Fields some time, and you've got a legitimate system that's not all curl routes. And I think that this wide receiving core I know it's not full of top line talent, but I think there's enough veteran presence with enough interesting guys that, you know, like Velus, I think it looks like he's ready to play right away. I think there's enough there that there can be some interesting offensive performances. And at this point, as a Bears fan, it's kind of all you can hope for.
That's all I want.
Yeah. I think the biggest concern there is with who we mentioned earlier, Lucas Patrick. It just stinks that, you know, here's a guy that I sound like Chris Collinsworth. Jesus.
Here's a guy.
It's okay. You talk about Lucas Patrick. But Lucas Patrick, he's supposed to be the center. You need to work on that timing. You need to work on that cadence with a new quarterback. So I think there could be, assuming he can make it back for week one or week two, there could be some growing pains there. Hopefully the ends of the line with the tackles get straightened out. But that interior, I think it's going to just be a work in progress. Like you said, it's going to take time, but these guys are going to gel at some point. We do see it. And I think with the coaches that are in place and kind of stressing the different kind of line play that we want to see or they want to see, it's going to happen. I think there's those first few weeks, it just could be a lot of growing pains, unfortunately.
It's to be expected, though. I think, like, it was a good tweet that he had, you know, earlier this week. You know, it's these guys, they are coming together. It's going to be a progress. And, you know, it may not really start clicking until somewhere in the season. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen probably in camp. It may not happen in preseason. You know, a lot of people have preached patience. That's what the Bears are in. They're in a preach patience mode right now. They're resetting the roster. It's a ton of new guys, and it'll take some time. But I think, I think we're all excited at the future if things, especially with Justin Fields, if he's being that guy, it's going to be fun.
We'll take a quick break here. We'll let somebody pay the bills. We'll come right back.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
All right, we're back. So let's talk about your top offensive and top defensive players from this practice. Now, again, it's one practice, and this is the only practice that you've been to. So, you know, you've been following other people that have been at practice. You've been reading all the practice reports and all that kind of stuff. But this was with your eyes. You got to see this team. They're in full pads, which I'm jealous. I didn't get to see contact. That makes me feel sad. But who stood out to you as your top offensive player today?
So a few guys, definitely. And at certain points of practice too, I think a few different guys shined. I don't know if there was like a consistent, and maybe aside from Fields, a consistent performer, but right off the bat, Treston Ebner, that guy has quickness. He has speed. He was juking guys. He had a really, really solid long run. I think it was one of the first plays of team drills. So it felt early in the morning, but a lot of guys compare him to, he's the new Tariq Cohen. I don't necessarily agree with that. He's bigger. I think he's stronger. He's kind of a mix between Cohen and somebody like David Montgomery who can take a hit, but his elusiveness, I think is going to be a really big asset to this offense and special teams. So right off the bat, he shined for me. I thought Bayless Jones, again, with that deep pattern was awesome, but I didn't see too much of him after that, which was a little disappointing. I think all of the running backs actually were solid, though, going back to Ebner. You saw David Montgomery get a load of the carries. He was taking contact. He was running hard like usual. Khalil Herbert, of course, right behind him, showing that vision. I thought he ran solid. And then Darrington Evans, like, that's a guy you don't want to forget about. It's going to be a big battle between him and Ebner for that third running back spot. I really do hope they keep four because I think all those guys can be assets. I'm not sure if that's possible, as well as keeping Kari Blasingame. But the running backs seem to be pretty good. And I thought they really made an emphasis on running the ball today. Cole Kmet had a solid practice. I think there was one play that stood out. There was one play that stood out to me that it really benefited the defense more, where Jaquan Brisker punched the ball out. I know we're talking about offense, but Cole Kmet was targeted early and often, and I think he showed some of his physicality, you know, trucking guys a little bit and using his size to his advantage across the middle. So he looked pretty good. I just wish he looked a little bit better in red zone, but I could say that for pretty much everybody.
It's funny you mentioned Kmet. As a rookie, I think he made the angry run segment on NFL Network a few times. We didn't see too much of that last year. Part of it was how it was used. We already talked about the excessive curl route, so it's kind of hard to, if you're a guy that big that takes a while to get going, you know, you're not going to truck anybody if you catch the ball and when you're standing still. So I'm excited to see Cole Kmet. I'm excited to see his progression. You know, I talk about it a lot on Twitter and in some private messages, Twitter chats we have. You know, he's a young guy. He's if he's maxed out at his potential right now at 23 years old, a 60 catch guy. You know, he's an okay blocker. If this is who he is, that's fine. But I mean, if you can't progress up, see the progression that he could take, you know, there's another step to take there. I mean, he's not done, you know, and his NFL career is not over. There's another step for him to take, and I don't know how big it'll be, but I know that he's with a coaching staff that they know how to use him. That's the big positive with Kmet and this staff.
Yeah. I think the biggest asset with Kmet early on, I think, was his run blocking. He was really, really good in that area. And the best word, I was talking to a guy at camp today, the best word I can use to describe Cole Kmet in the passing game is clunky. I think the way that he runs is a little clunky. Like, it's not as fluid as it needs to be. It's not as smooth as it needs to be. He looks leaner this year, and I'm sure you've seen that in pictures, but like, even just seeing him standing and kind of running routes, he looks leaner. He looks a little bit smoother. Granted, it is only practice, but I'm really excited to see what the staff can do with him to hopefully better, you know, round out his route, not round, but, you know, smooth out his routes a little bit and possibly take over that Robert Tonyan role that we saw in Green Bay, where Tonyan just was a beast in the end zone. He maybe only got like 500, 600 yards during the season, but he was always a threat to catch a touchdown. And again, Cole's got the size. He can do it if he's put in the right position. And like you said, Lester, when you're running curls, and especially when you're running routes on third and 23, I mean, what are you going to do? There's no hope.
This is hashtag Swole Komet. This is Komet season. We have become a Komet fan podcast somehow.
I think it has happened. Yeah.
It's
my fault. I'll take blame for that.
No, I was there for 3 days, and my first day, I was like, Cole Komet, like, looked pretty good.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, I've been getting, you know, some grief about it, but because I'm not, I mean, look, yeah, go back to the draft. I didn't want Cole Komet. I wanted Antoine Winfield Jr. Sure. It didn't happen. Right. So Cole Komet's a Bear. So I've been cheering for him. Right. There's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with a tight end taking a little bit of time to develop, because that's a really hard position to learn. And you have to be able to do multiple things well. And to be a good tight end, you know, a round tight end here. And it's not surprising that going into his third year, he looks like he might take a step. That's generally what happens with most tight ends. You don't get spoiled. You know, yeah, Kyle Pitts, oh, he's a tight. Yeah, okay. He's just a giant wide receiver that they call a tight end, which is going to financially probably hurt him down the line. You know, Travis Kelce. Okay, well, yeah, he's not going to be Travis Kelce. Fine. But can he be that step below Travis Kelce? Travis Kelce's going to the Hall of Fame. So can he just be like a really good tight end? It's possible. Maybe we just need to give Cole Komet a chance to see what he does this year. That's
what all. Real quickly, what would you guys think if he had a career like Kyle Rudolph?
Perfect.
Sure.
It's not bad.
Good player.
Yeah.
Not great, but good player. So nothing wrong with that.
10-year pro, a couple Pro Bowls, I'm sure, as alternates, you know, but, you know, he'll catch, you know, 40, 50, 60 balls for you every season. He's a threat. You know, like we talked about, his red zone production has to pick up, you know, but, you know, I think the key for Cole Komet, especially in this offense, and that's something he talked about in the offseason, was he wanted to really improve his blocking. If he can show that he could become an above average blocker, and look, he's 6'5", he's 260, he added some muscle mass this year. He has thinned down, but he's in better shape, and, you know, he wants to become more aggressive as a run blocker. If he can hone that part of his game, that's going to be a huge fit for this offense. And, you know, the target share should not be there. He should not be getting targeted as much as he was targeted a year ago. But I think his catch percentage could probably increase, because he's not going to be used like he was used in years past.
Yeah. And again, situationally, like when you're deep in your own end zone and you're running those third and 20s, the last thing you want to do is give it to a tight end like Cole Komet. That's just not smart football, but totally agree with what you said. Like, he is absolutely going to be counted upon for run blocking with this sort of offense. They are going to run the ball, take a break, run the ball again, and just, you know, continue to pound it down your throat. So yeah, I definitely agree with that sentiment.
We've seen the PG-13 version of Cole Komet, where he never scores. Let's see the rated R version.
Nice.
Well done.
All right, let's flip it over to the other side of the ball. You mentioned Jaquan Brisker earlier, having a punch out. He's had a good camp. I mean, I was super impressed with Brisker. I thought Gordon, you know, played pretty well, looked pretty good for a rookie corner, but I was like, oh, I really like Brisker. It was very easy for me to get behind Brisker. So I kind of jumped at you saying that, but you mentioned somebody else in your article today. So who else is popping off for you in the defense, and who would you say your top player was?
Yeah. And I feel kind of dirty doing this, because I've been very high on him ever since he signed with the Bears, but Tavon Young looked pretty good today. And I think he was put in an advantageous situation, because you had Kyler Gordon out, you had Kendall Vildor out, both of whom who had been taking starting snaps, Gordon at the nickel corner spot and Vildor at the other outside corner spot opposite of Jalen Johnson. So in comes Tavon Young and Lamar Jackson, who again has had a pretty good camp. So he was getting some
guy,
solid.
JB.
Lamar Jackson, guy. My guy.
He was pretty solid today too. But Tavon Young, he was effective in the run game. He put Darnell Mooney on his ass. And he also tipped a pass from Fields that led to a near interception from Eddie Jackson in the end zone. I mean, Tavon Young, he's been a solid nickel corner. The biggest issue with him is his health.
Right.
And he's still relatively young. This is a chance for him to really kind of reset his career. He's on a prove it deal. And I'm kind of disappointed that Gordon didn't play today because I really wanted to see how he performed, especially if they were going to keep him in this nickel corner spot. I'd personally like to see him on the outside. I think he'd be effective there. I understand that NFL offenses, they're running all those types of receivers. You're going to be in that nickel and dime package like a ton. But seeing Tavon Young kind of ball out was really nice. And he was my pick to be the starting nickel corner, even competing against Thomas Graham. And he's been out for a while, unfortunately. But it was good to see him perform. And yeah, Jaquan Brisker, like, when I tweeted out that he punched the ball out from Cole Kmet, and I'm sure you guys will appreciate this, half of my mentions were, well, it was just Cole Kmet dropping the ball. This was a completed catch, my friends, and Jaquan Brisker peanut punched that thing right out, and the defense celebrated accordingly. It was a good catch. Jaquan Brisker just made a better play, and it seems like he's doing that every single practice, and I'm so excited to see this young man play. He just has that ball hawk mentality. I think he's going to make the entire defense better. I think the secondary overall looked pretty good. And even being down a couple guys like that, I'm really, really excited to see how they perform against other wide receivers not on their team and in, you know, a preseason format.
It's funny because it was such a weakness a season ago. And now in one season, you even have the guys that are perceived, you know, at this point anyway, as backups, playing pretty good in training camp. So it's a nice problem to have if you end up cutting a guy that you were counting on playing because the young guys, you know, outperformed him. And you talk about the peanut punch mentality. It was there the whole time I was at camp as well with JB. Every single play, those defenders are coming at the ball, you know, that they want it. And it's a beautiful thing as Bears fans because we want those turnovers. You know, we would love hearing the guys on the TV saying, talking about the peanut punch. You know, more elevation of peanut punch. Let's get him in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, and not only that, but just the physicality too. So Eddie Jackson was a guy that stood out in that sense. He was going after David Montgomery. Those two, I don't know if there's like a frenemy relationship there. They just are good competitors. But there was one time Ejax kind of popped David Montgomery on a run. And then as they were getting in red zone work, Montgomery's pushing towards the end zone and Ejax and them are going at it a little bit after the whistle. And I'm like, you know what? I like this mentality. I want to see that from Eddie Jackson. I want to see that fight. I want to see that, you know, competitiveness come out. And, you know, they dapped it up after. They were good. It wasn't like a scrum or anything, just two guys that were really trying to, you know, one of them trying to score, the other one trying to keep him out of the end zone. And that was really pleasant to see, especially from a guy like Eddie Jackson, who he's been dogged a lot over the last couple of years for his tackling abilities, and rightfully so. I get it, but I think he really put out the effort today. And again, just really good to see that from him.
I just want to go back, Brandon, to what you said earlier about Gordon, and you didn't get the chance to see Gordon. I think that what I have seen or what I saw in the early camp, and this may have changed, don't get me wrong, but I think some Bears fans are like, what, the first pick is just going to be the nickel? I think what's happening is that the idea is Gordon's going to be on the field and he's going to play outside corner if you're running, you know, a base defense, just meaning four defensive backs. And then if they go into the nickel, they like the idea that of him being able to slide down. So to me, it seems like we have a Kendall Vildor at outside corner versus Tavon Young / Thomas Graham, if he ever gets healthy, at nickel. You know, so the idea is Gordon's going to be on the field in one of those two corner spots when they play nickel, and the other spot is open for one of those other guys to step up, or it could be matchup dependent, right? Where they say, hey, we really think that we're going to see a lot of 11 personnel. You know, the offense is going to put three wide receivers out and they're going to put a a slot guy that is a little taller. They're going to put like a power slot in. We want Gordon on him because we don't think Graham or Tavon Young matches up well, and we're going to put Wilder on the outside. Or the next week, it's, you know, actually we feel pretty good about Young matching up against this, you know, shiftier slot wide receiver, so we're going to just keep Gordon on the outside. I think that's where the competition is, not so much Gordon only playing nickel.
I would agree. And I really wish I could see it in action, but I was talking to another Bears podcaster today, Duke Coughlin, who was out there, and he pretty much said the same thing. He's like, yeah, Jalen Johnson's probably going to be one of those guys. He's strictly going to play on that one side of the field. We saw him last year try and shadow some of the bigger top end receivers like Cooper Kupp, like Davante Adams, and move that to the slot. And that's where the Packers specifically have killed us. And he had mixed results. And I think Jalen Johnson is much better as an outside corner. So then you bring in that versatility with Gordon, like you said, if there's a top end wide receiver that he can shadow more or less that moves to the slot, then you put Gordon there. You have somebody like Wilder on the outside, and then he moves back to outside. And like you said, with Graham or Young in the slot. So yeah, I would agree. And I think that's going to help. I think Gordon, without seeing him practice yet, I think he could have that ability to kind of shadow that top wide receiver. And I mean, we haven't had a guy like that in a long, long time, even with Fuller and, you know, Jalen Johnson here. We haven't seen that since Charles Tillman, like 10 years ago.
Well, good stuff, Brendan. I really appreciate you coming on here. Where can people find your stuff? I mean, you're on Twitter, you're writing articles all the time. So where can people go find you?
Sure. You can follow me on Twitter at Brendan Shugrue. That's S-U-G-R-U-E. Check out my work on Bears Wire. So you can follow Bears Wire or bearswire.com. And then I also host a weekly podcast called the Bear Down Chicago Podcast with Ryan Dangle, Jack Wright, Patrick Sheldon, and Logan Bradley. So definitely check out our episodes. We'll have an upcoming one this Monday. So thank you guys so much. It's such a pleasure to talk with you guys. Like I said earlier, I'm a big fan of both of you, and I'm not just blowing smoke up your ass. I think, Lester, you're one of the best writers out there, and JB, you know, getting to know you over the last few years and seeing your work has been awesome. So it really is a pleasure to come on with you guys. I really appreciate it.
That's very kind of you to say. I appreciate it.
Yeah, that's we don't get a lot of compliments, so certainly.
Bears people are just yelling at you at practice now.
Right. Yeah, that's all it is.
Practice. Well, stick around for the YouTube crowd when get a little Q&A here. Looks like we got some of those, but we'll close out the podcast here. Guys, we're really appreciate you listening to this show, and we got a ton of stuff, man. I mean, the Taylor Show, Making Monsters, was awesome this week. Make sure you're checking that out. Lester and I are going to be back on Sunday. No, it's me and Jacob on Sunday.
Jacob,
yeah. Lester's going to be at practice, but it's actually just Jacob Infante and I will recap Sunday's practice. He's going to that one. So we'll be here covering that practice. We'll continue to try to bring you as many practice coverage as we can. And we're getting closer to the season. We're getting closer to our lineup. We're getting closer to a fun announcement. And so stay tuned. I know that you all will like that. Follow us on Second City Gridiron YouTube. Follow us on Twitter at GridironBorn, at WillFongJR. And until next time, bear down.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com. Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Want to get a little more from every sip? Smartwater Alkaline doesn't just taste crisp and pure. It's loaded with everything you need to perform at your best, whether you're running marathons or boardroom meetings. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.